Hello, and welcome back to another episode of your favorite political podcast. It's your boy, Day.
And I am David, and together we are Call Me Limbo. Yes, today we wanted to just talk about, like, I was like, Day, I said, we have to do another episode together because I want to get your hot takes on a couple of things that happened to me. And then Day also, like, attended an event virtually or viewed an event. And I was, and you said, like, oh, like, I don't know if I would have done certain things like this way or something. I was like, I got to hear about it. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Do you want to start? Do you want me to start?
Yeah, I feel like you have juicier stuff. So, like, I feel like you should ask me mine. I'm so glad you brought that up because even in the 5 minutes since we talked about it, I had forgotten. So,
yeah.
So I went to, trying to see, should I say the organization's name or not? I went to an organization that has an emphasis on climate and getting climate policy passed. And I was disappointed. Not by the ambition. Let me caveat. I was truly impressed by the energy and the enthusiasm of the participants. And I do not doubt the sincerity in their quest for climate change. I think where they lost me was that I think tactically, Biden's administration has made it very clear how far their lines, where their lines will be drawn.
And it's while drill, yes, baby, drill is the line.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, like, it's challenging when you're one party tells you we're going to drill, baby, drill, literally as Trump did that the other day. Mm-hmm. But then another said that the other day. And then another party is going to vocally say, rhetorically go, we care about this while approving the Willow Project. It's like, so they're also in opposition.
Yeah.
So I get that that party is probably your best chance. But I, in my opinion, more aggressive tactics needed to be taken, because instead of, oh, you know, we're going to tell him if he doesn't do this, then, you know, I was like, then what? Hmm. There's no then what? Because, and I said, for me, I would like to see a more hard. I said, we have a candidate in Marianne Williamson who's running, who does champion what we're talking about. And so if you want to show people you're serious, why not support her? Because at the end of the day, you're going to lose. What are you going to lose? Access? But the access hasn't granted you what the moment demands. And I think that was where I was disappointed, because I was like, do we genuinely believe that the Biden administration would respond to this? Because they know at the end of the day, when the gravel meets the road, when the alternative is what it is, you'll fall in line and vote.
Yeah. So who was at this event? Like, I guess that's what I'm curious too. Like, who was talking and they were talking about climate policy, you said. And so, yeah. Were they setting their own agenda or, yeah.
That part I was a little unclear, and because this was my first meeting with them. So I do not, you know, I'm not fully clear on the organizational structure. I will say there was a congressperson there, which I appreciated, you know, being there and having the conversation. And it seemed like it was both national leaders and like chapter leaders. But what I did not get, I want to see if they're open to having a conversation, because they do want to continue to press and push for certain policies, which I agree with. Mm-hmm. I just don't agree with the goal of trying to convince Joe Biden anymore.
Okay.
That's what it made me realize. You know what? I think I was talking to get to that statement. That meeting made me realize trying to work with Joe is not my goal. At this point, my goal is to replace him as the primary candidate with someone like Marianne Williamson. So as I watch them do these things, I'm like, because I think what for me, it's like listening to the ways that you want to pressure them, I'm like, I wouldn't do it. Like, even if I was in his position, I would not do this. Not because, I mean, yes, fundamentally, I don't believe he agrees with it, but I don't care because it's about the policy. LBJ passed civil rights legislation, and we already know his thoughts on race. But my issue is, what I look at it like I wouldn't do it because I don't need to. There's like, what are you going to do? Not vote? It's going to vote for Trump?
Yeah.
You're going to endorse Trump? No. So again, it's like the only big enough thing is to endorse somebody else or to say, I don't endorse him. Like even that would have been a thing. But to me, it's like, what are you going to lose? Well, we won't be able to be in the room because we were in the room for this. Okay. Yeah. Is that going to stop your movement?
Yeah.
Is that going to make your voice not heard?
Yeah. What are some, I was like, you're much more well-versed on this than I am. Like, what are some of Marianne Williamson's climate policies or climate ideas?
Yeah. So one thing that I think is important to start with, and I love, is the framing. I think one thing I always say is that even with Joe's investments in clean energy, one, it didn't go as far as it should, but then also you nullify it with your other actions. But with Marianne Williamson, her framing of it as it being a crisis, I believe her policy platform reflects that in her decision to want to do like World War II level mass mobilization to address climate change. And so whether it be energy policies or whether it's just like specific things like expanding investments to reach 100% renewable energy and dramatically reduce carbon emissions by 2035 or earlier, I think Biden and them were talking about 2050, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me, but, you know, definitely not reaching for 2035. Yeah. Or transition away from fossil fuel energy and halt all new fossil fuel projects. Restarting the clean power plan to protect our health and clean air while rapidly phasing out coal. There's just tons of different things. Modernizing our power grids, decarbonizing all buildings by 2045. Decarbonizing all federally owned buildings by 2030. So there's a list of things that's, I will not keep us here to go through.
That's okay. I'm air quoting, even clean coal.
And so it's like,
I love how you just skipped over that. Right.
Cause I don't know what to say.
my
brain, y'all, sometimes we're like talking to y'all, we'll be like looking up stuff, talking, interacting and everything. And I think my brain had a moment where it was like, we're doing too much at one thing. This is one of our late night episodes.
It is. That's right.
Because we love you.
We do. And that's why we're doing this. And I was like, honestly, too, I was like, clean coal does not warrant a response. Let's be honest. There's no such thing.
It stands on its own.
It does.
But I will say, I do want to highlight some of my personal favorite parts about the policy, because you and I talk about this in private a lot. My genuine fascination with high-speed rail and bullet trains and stuff like that. So, you know, part of her administration is establish a federal high-speed rail program at the FTA, require electrification of all railways by 2040, both passenger and freight. We really forget how much the freight is such a large portion of everything. So that was important to me. Change the ratio of federal funds for highways to transition to transit to 50-50.
I love that idea.
Yeah. And then accelerate the production of electric vehicles, investing in charging infrastructure, and continue efforts to maximize fuel efficiency until we can move away from internal combustion engines. All parking spaces on either private or public land would have to have access to electric charging stations by 2035. So I say all of that. And of course, anybody that wants to, Marianne2024.com and under the issues page, because it talks about from the economics to how it helps with addressing the national security component of it, addressing the U.S. military pollution, things like that. That's a policy platform that's ambitious and reflects somebody recognizing the moment that needs to be met. And I said, when JFK said, we're going to put a man on the moon, nobody knew how we were doing that. But that was the goal. It was set. And from whence things had to align. And because he placed an emphasis on that, we did it.
Yeah.
In record time. In a very fast, you know,
Unless you ask my eighth grade teacher, my eighth grade English teacher, we did not. So,
sans those believers, sans those people, the non-believers. But you do something like that. And I believe that under a Marianne Williamson administration, when you're not tethered to the corporations that fund campaigns from big oil, big ag, coal, all that different stuff like that, you can put together a coalition of people to solve the problem. It's something that she repeats a lot, but I think it bears repeating here, is that we have solutions for a lot of our issues. And then if we don't have a fully fleshed solution, we have the genius in the country. They just aren't given the resources necessary to do it, because sometimes them doing this would hurt the profit of the industries oppressing and destroying the country. So again, we have the people with solutions. They just need to now be the people with power, because the people currently in power aren't interested in hearing the solutions if it threatens their corporate donor. So that's my piece on that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed myself and I'm grateful for them. And I'm not saying all of this to cast judgment on them, because I do believe they're genuine, but I have to critique the actions. And that's really what my thought process is. And I hope to dialogue with them in the future. I think that might actually lend itself and I might have that opportunity. And I think we can have a good, honest back and forth about strategy.
Yeah, no, that's interesting to me too, though, because I'm like, I think you can see this pop culture creation that we made a while back on our Instagram page at Call Me Limbo Pod, that like, it's like 100 companies are responsible for like 71% of global greenhouse emissions. And so I was like, I get a little tired sometimes that like, those of us who are not doing the bulk of the polluting or the carbon output are the ones who are having to like adjust our behaviors to like kind of offset what these corporations are doing, and because they just keep polluting because it's profitable.
Looting and polluting is not the way you a Captain Planet has to. Sorry.
Is this a real song or was this improv?
Oh my God, David, really? No, yeah, so this is a real song.
Is it scripted?
Y'all, David does not watch scripted. That's a whole nother conversation for another day. But no, so there was this show cartoon called Captain Planet.
He's our hero. So,
gonna I do know that pollution part. Down to zero. It's like looting and polluting is not the way. Here's what Captain Planet has to say. Captain Planet, he's a hero. Y'all, anybody that knows, if you know, you know. So now you have me. Let me see. I got to find it now. Now it's personal. Because, yes, I was a huge Captain Planet person. I mean, granted, I was in reruns and stuff by the time I was watching it. But it doesn't matter because I love. But honestly, what's funny is that low key, they were doing indoctrination, but at least it was good indoctrination.
Sure.
Captain Planet theme song. Hold on. Here we go. Copyright people don't get us because we ain't got no
right. Money. That's right. We're giving credit where credit's due before
we do not own the rights and the property, the intellectual property, or whatever.
That's right. Insert legal verbiage here.
But what sucks is that I am famous for inserting the wrong song lyrics into the like mixing up songs. So I'm actually doing this to simply see if I was right. Okay, let's here we go.
Little behind the scenes piece. Before we play the Captain Planet video, we've edited out probably about 4 or 5 minutes of tries. So we really hope that you enjoy
this
serenade.
In my defense, y'all, I was trying to play the theme song on the microphone, but in my defense, my phone will do this weird thing where because I use my AirPods to record and I use my microphone as my, as the input instead of my AirPod microphone. It'll just switch over without telling me. So while I was looking at it on my computer saying that it was correct, what I wasn't realizing is that my phone had taken over. And so every time I was playing it, I heard it well because nothing in my audio experience had changed because David was still flowing through my ears and the music.
And let's just say you were putting on a show. as and you were singing along. Yes.
Yes. And the funny thing is, I'm just like, how does he not hear this? Like, I'm like, David, I have it as close to the mic as possible, not realizing. Oh my gosh. Anyways.
How about this? How about we put a link to the Captain Planet theme song in the show notes?
Yes. This was not where I expected.
Editor's note. But yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, that's a real song. It's from Captain Planet, the cartoon. Like back when you could do good indoctrination on television, I guess. I don't know. But you have to hear the theme song. It's like a part where it's like, looting and polluting is not the way. Boom, boom. Hear what Captain Planet has to say. Very, very 80s. I wasn't born in the 80s, of course, but they're definitely that vibe. So I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, Day is actually a professional entertainer, performer, musician, like actually gets paid. So that is a treat. And you can support that work at Call Me Limbo Pod and
I
Venmo.
I could never charge you for that.
Yeah, right.
I couldn't charge for that, but thank you. Thank you. So yes, I want to know what you had so much going on. As you all can see, David's life has been very fun from last week. Was the protest? The protest was last week. So what has happened last week? Then?
Yeah. So this week, I love to just like say, I was like, there's actually a little bit of a story, but I love to just say I was woken up by the FBI on Tuesday morning at 5:40 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So yes. So, did I tell you?
No, I'm sorry, y'all. This is alive. I'm learning this as it's happening. This is great.
Yeah. So, yes, no, I was woken up by the FBI Tuesday morning at like 5:40 a.m. to this bullhorn. I kid you not, this bullhorn of like, and I like kind of woke up. I was like, it was kind of foggy. All I heard the first time was, this is the FBI. Come out of like, and I was like, what did I do? What did I do? What did Phoebe do? And I was like, thankfully, I was like, oh my gosh. So I was like laying in bed and I see all these sirens outside like my windows. And I was like, what is happening? And so then I hear another announcement, this bullhorn. This is the FBI. We have an active warrant for, they said the person's name, a resident at this address. And thankfully, it was not my address. It was the address across the street. But so then I was like, oh, okay, I'm off the hook. I'm not on their radar. And at least not enough to have them be. Yes. And so I look out the window. There was like a sheriff's deputy car. There was like a big van. And then there was like a military like vehicle with like a battering ram basically on it. And then like FBI like officers like with long guns like walking around out in the street, and I was like, this is wild, like let me go to the back of my home in case there's terrifying. So evidently the person was not there, and so they just woke
all
up
that y'all woke y'all up for nothing.
Yes, the person was not there.
We fighting.
Yeah, and then they just left. So I was like, this is wild. And I was like, it was so disruptive. And I was like, not militarization at 5:40.
That's my thing. Like, why so early? Especially if you're not going to care about people trying to sleep. Like, imagine if you had a newborn. Heck, imagine I'm the newborn because I'm tired like they are. Like, how could you do that? Yeah, it's a no. Did we learn nothing over in 2020? Like, yeah, that's wow.
Yeah, so I got awoken by the FBI at 5:40 on Tuesday morning. And then the other thing that I actually did want your thoughts on, because I have kind of my own, I have been supporting this family just kind of as a resource. A friend of my friend Lindsay and I have sort of adopted this Venezuelan, Ecuadorian refugee family. And I went with them to this place called Intensive Supervision Appearance Program. It was an alternative to the detention program for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. So I found out that many of these migrants and these refugees have to check in with either like ICE or one of these alternatives. Well, the kicker is all of the paperwork that is provided to them by Immigrations and Customs Enforcement at the border is all in English. Most of these people speak very little English. It's all serious? In English. Yes. And then, so I like actually called the ICE office because the woman, it was like, oh my gosh, like, I think you may have missed your like check-in appointment. We need to call literally every single, like there was like the entire menu when it said like, hi, thank you for calling the Denver field office of ICE. All of it was in English. All of it. There was not even
there was no two for Spanish. Para Espanol. What?
Nada. Nada. And so, yeah, it was wild. And so I was like thinking about like, oh my goodness, like why are we doing this? And I was like, is it just an excuse to say, oh, you missed your court date, we have to deport you? Like it felt really cruel and intentionally like confusing and misleading. So yeah, I'd just be curious of your thoughts. Yeah.
No, I think for many people in this country, there's a certain people learn from experience, and some people can look at a situation, have enough empathy that is happening to someone else to want it to stop. Other people can look at a situation that is happening, empathize with them, but say, that's none of my business, and keep it moving. And I think that what you just described is something that people who look at them and maybe or maybe not, you know, people have demonized the immigrant community, but we talk so much about them like they're this like accounting, like they're a mark in the accounting ledger. And it's like they're human beings. And so for you to have the experience of seeing the process through their eyes, how harrowing that must be, coming from a country that's already, the process of getting to America through the means with which many have to do it is its own traumatic experience. Then getting to a foreign country, not knowing the language, people are treating you with so much hostility. Some people are trying to be kind. Meanwhile, you can't tell the difference between friend and foe, sans body language. And body language is your only way to know who's friend and who's foe, because you can't understand them. And then you're trying to adjudicate your situation. Meanwhile, you've yet to speak to anybody that can translate on your behalf and translate, you know, as a speaker and as a listener. So I just couldn't imagine being dumped here. And then I'm just like, how do I get around?
Yep.
And that, I would do it from a humanitarian standpoint, but I think just an emotional standpoint, I'm like, how do you see that? Do you see that and go back to business as normal? Or how do you separate that, put that mental barrier up? Because like you have a job, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't tend to these people 24/7. So it's like, do those images or thoughts replay in your mind?
Well, yeah. Well, and the kicker too is that after July 31st, the Uncle Joe, Genocide Joe, has like, there was an agreement that they, like many of these people coming in after July, are no longer eligible for like work authorization. They're here on asylum seeking. And so I was like, so many of these folks just want to work and they just want to support themselves. And I was like, it's just, again, they're like willing to do undesirable jobs just in order to contribute to their livelihood and their community and like have a roof over their head. And I was like, oh my gosh, like we make things so much more complicated than they need to be. So yeah, I was just curious. And this appointment that they were at for this alternatives, like this check-in was about, they were there for about 5 hours.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was the whole day.
I believe, I would like to believe at least, there is so much overlap that people who view themselves as conservative or liberal on immigration, we could agree on and get so much of both of our goals done if we had proper funding and staffing of the thing. And I truly believe that because this is such a hot topic issue for both dominant parties, it behooves them not to actually address it. Because you lose that. It's not like the Republican Party, now that they can't dangle abortion in front of the evangelicals' faces, they got it. And unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, in my opinion, because I am pro-choice, but you now see it becoming a political Achilles heel for them. It's a very animating issue. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So let us know what you think. Like, what do you think that the potential solution is? Like, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us at Call Me Limbo Pod on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads. I think let's leave it here for today. I was going to say, we kind of wanted this to be a little bit shorter of an episode. Just kind of update each other and just like hear from each other and like what we've been thinking. And then we would love to hear from you too. So again, at Call Me Limbo Pod, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads. You can also support us financially. If you are able, any amount is a big amount to us. We appreciate it. So, and you got a little song from Day. So that is worth something in my mind.
I'll have to bring you a real song. If we get, I'm trying to think how many people, if I like the number of followers and subscribers on the Patreon and everything, I will do a song one day, sing for everybody for real. I will say this though, share your exchange. If you've ever been an exchange student, did study abroad, hosted a family or anything like that, please share that experience. I love hearing about stuff where we're interacting with other cultures and doing things like that. So part of my platform would be that everyone would get to do something like that around the world.
I love that. So cool. Perfect. Well, awesome. Well, yeah, I was going to say, as we end every episode, just remember, like, when they go low,
we go lower.
That's so right. Call me Limbo.
Bye.